Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you for this awesome study today, Lord. I pray it encourages your people to get ready for your coming in them and for their rewards and so on and so forth. Father, please don't let your people miss this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I believe this is very important. We're going to start with, we're going to call this the bride's submission is beautiful. It's beautiful to the Lord, right? And I'm going to start with Marie Kelton's revelation on 4:1-22. We called it the bride's transformation to heavenly submission. So, in this dream, Shay represents the bride of Christ who is submitted to her heavenly husband through obedience to the word. She said, I dreamed I was in Chicago. Well, we know Chicago probably represents Babylon. Jesus said that we are in the world, but not of the world. And, of course, many Christians are of the world. So there has to be a change called sanctification. She said, I was in the bathroom, and I was dyeing my hair blue with a white cream. Well, spiritually speaking, the bathroom is where we get rid of unwanted waste, right, in our life. A woman's hair is a sign of submission to her husband, and this text also explains the other dreams below this that we will share with you. 1 Corinthians 11:3-15. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. That's the pecking order right there, folks. Obey it, or you're going to miss the boat. Every man praying or prophesying with his head covered dishonoreth his head, but every woman praying or prophesying with her head unveiled dishonoreth her head. It's not a covering there, it's a veil. Those are two different words. And for it is one and the same thing as if she were shaven. For if a woman is not veiled, let her also be shorn. Okay, so this is, of course, a woman to her husband, right? Let her also be shorn. But if it's a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be veiled. For a man indeed ought not to have his head veiled, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. For neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have a sign of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the woman without the man, nor the man without the woman in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, so is a man also by the woman, but all things are of God. Judge ye in yourselves. Is it seemly that a woman pray unto God unveiled? No, obviously. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a... So this is a natural lesson. It's not the lesson of the veil. It's a natural lesson to point to the veil, right? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a dishonor to him. But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. A covering, not a veil, a covering. Okay, two different words. Dyeing the hair blue represents acquiring a heavenly submission to Jesus. by being seated with Christ in heavenly places. The white cream represents purity, which we need to be in submission to Jesus and His Word, right? Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 says, "And you did He make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins, wherein you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience." So if you're being disobedient, you're walking according to the prince of the powers of the air. "Among whom we also once lived in the lusts of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. And raised us up with Him, and made us to sit with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Heavenly places are abiding in Christ Jesus. Okay. "That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ." Christ Jesus. "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory." So this faith is a gift from God. Ask Him for that gift, that you may walk in all of His ways, well-pleasing unto Him. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them." So we are called to walk in good works. Some people like to discount good works. You can't do that, or you won't be doing the works of God. "The color only took to the back of my hair, which was a bright blue, but it didn't take to the rest of my hair. I knew in the dream that I was going to dye it again and get the rest of my hair that bright blue color." Well, obviously you want everything in submission to your head, right? Everything. So this is a continual work in your life to do this, okay? So salvation in our spirit is instant when we first come to the Lord in repentance. And this is represented by the blue coloring only taking to the back of the hair, which submits all of our past sins up to the point of our salvation. But the salvation of our souls is a progressive process as long as we are alive on this earth. And this is represented by the recoloring of the front part or forward-looking part of the hair, representing working out the rest of our salvation in the future with fear and trembling. She said, "My adoptive mom and my adoptive grandmother didn't like me dyeing my hair that color." Well, they represent the mother of harlots and her daughters. They do not like sanctified people. Look back through history. It's always been that way. They were really mad at me for it. Well, the Babylonish apostates hate the true disciples of Jesus. Throughout the history of the Bible, it was those recognized as God's people who persecuted the righteous. Okay, John 15, 18 through 21 says, "If the world hateth you, you know that it hateth me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." For my name's sake that you are persecuted, Jesus said. And that's going to your cross, denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Jesus, submitting to him. Amen. So, this is a revelation given to Claire Pinar on 11/23/22, and the submitted bride is exceedingly beautiful. And of course, that means to the Lord. But make no mistake about it. The bride is submitted to the Lord. Okay. I dreamed I saw two pregnant women at a hairdresser. I recognized the slightly younger one was my friend Glenda. Glenda means holy and good. Both women were gorgeous and had gorgeous long blonde hair, and both were very pregnant with Christ, of course. They were fit and had running clothes on. They had just come back from a run. These women represent the members of the corporate bride body. They are fit from exercising their faith and overcoming in trials. And in running their race, right? Some people are not in the race. They don't know there is a race. Yes, there is. A race to the finish line. For every one of these wonderful positions in Christ, there is a race, right? They are completely submissive to the sun. S-U-N/S-O-N. You know what happens with your hair in the sun, right? It turns blonder. As indicated by the blonde hair. And Rion, her husband, said, and about to give birth to the man-child reformers. That's right. Amen. A well-dressed male hairstylist came and spoke to them. He loved their long hair and their beauty. He told them to wait. Well, this male hairstylist, I believe, represents the Holy Spirit, who gives those who are in submission to the King of Kings everything they will need to be pleasing to Jesus, as Haggai did in the book of Esther. Esther 2:8-9 says, "So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was taken into the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women." And I believe this Haggai represents the Holy Spirit, right? "And the maiden pleased him." In other words, she pleased the Holy Spirit. "And she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her her things for purification." So if you think it's too late, don't believe that, okay? "With her portions, and the seven maidens who were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he removed her and her maidens to the best place of the house of the women." Well, notice that the Holy Spirit can do a quick work if we please him, right? He represents the Father to us. If we please him, we please the Father. So this is I'm going to depart from Claire's revelation here just for a moment to share another one that we call Time is Running Out. And Marlene Laughlin had this on 1/21/23. "In a dream, I saw a very large white wall representing the white wall of purity and sanctification." Sanctification means separation. Walls separate us from the worldly, right? "On the wall was the largest circular clock I've ever seen. It had a narrow black rim all the way around it. As I looked up at the 12 o'clock area of the clock, the number 12 started slowly running down the face of the clock like wet ink." The number 12, I believe, represents the number of the elect. "The numbers 11 and 1 then started to run down like the 12 had done." Well, 111 is the gematria for the birth of the man-child. And it's found in many places where Jesus was born, and so on and so forth, representing the birth of the man child. The gematria is there. Then I woke up with the realization that time was running out for Christians. Yeah, for Christians to be a part of the man-child and the bride bodies. Remember, the man-child is a part of the bride body too. Just as David was the head over Jerusalem, which was called the bride. He was a member also of Jerusalem, okay? He was the head of the bride body. So obey the voice of the Spirit and cast down distractions to be ready for what's coming. Now let's go back to Claire's dream. Then my perspective in the dream changed, and I was in another portion of the salon where I saw the main male stylist trying to make do with his clients. This main stylist, I believe, represents Jesus, the King of Kings, just like Ahasuerus in the book of Esther, right? They were all very overweight and scraggly black hair, and none of them were pretty. Well, they are not pleasing to the Lord, evidently. So in the spiritual, these black-haired women represent the corporate body of the apostate church, who are full of flesh and submitted to darkness. And, of course, they're not in the running for the bride because they're not running the race because they think it's all over. They stepped over the line and they're a shoe-in, right? So the male stylist, the Holy Spirit, who had seen the blonde pregnant women, called the main stylist, Jesus, on a red telephone from a distance and said, "You have to see these two. They are beautiful. They are exactly what you're looking for. I'm calling you so the others don't hear me. They might be jealous and or offended." So, and she has in parenthesis here, the red telephone likely represents a state of emergency. I would think so. And, of course, it's to the church today. Okay. The main stylist, Jesus, excused himself from the less than desirable clients he had in front of him and came out to look at these blonde pregnant women. They were pregnant with Christ, right? He was thrilled to see them. He touched their hair and looked at their strong, lean, tanned legs, and he was smiling from ear to ear. Their strong, lean, tanned legs, I believe, represents a walk of strength while being exposed to the sun, S-U-N/S-O-N, and have overcome many trials. And I believe exposed to the sun is like the Shulamite bride, the perfect bride in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, who was scorched by the sun. They were tanned by the sun, right? He did not want to cut their hair, as it was so healthy and thick and lovely. That represents submission, right? He just wanted to photograph them and be with them. Yes, amen. Jesus admires the beauty and the submission of the bride. So these women then morphed into one. Well, that's because they represent a corporate body called the Bride of Christ, right? And this superwoman was all smiles and gentle and unassuming, not prideful or boastful about her appearance or physical abilities at all, because it's all by grace, right? We don't have anything we didn't receive, right? I so badly wanted to be like that. I wanted to be perfect and pregnant like they were. And then Rion said this. He said in 1 Corinthians 12:20, "But now they are many members, but one body." Amen. Corporate body. And then I woke up And I received Isaiah 44:28 by faith at random for this dream. With my finger on, she shall be built. In verse 28, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. It kind of gives us a timing here, right? Even saying of Jerusalem, remember what John in Revelation was told, and that was that the Jerusalem is the bride. Even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple thy foundation shall be laid. God is building the bride. She shall be built. Will you be among them? Well, I've got some good news for you, if you'll follow carefully. This is a warning to contenders for the bride body. Claire Pienaar received this 12/8/22. We found ourselves in the foyer of a large modern church. Well, this modern church represents the modern apostate church system, as we will see. We did not want to be there in this church. There was a slightly older lady there with short blonde hair. Short hair is a lack of submission to the Lord, not necessarily to religion. But she had blonde hair, and she was very welcoming. Well, as we will see, this woman represents the deceptive and rebellious Jezebel spirit that rules the apostate church. Deception meaning she has that blonde hair, okay? It was a lovely looking church with modern posters of families in the sun, etc. And for 2 Timothy 3:2-6 says, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness. So this are people who claim to be godly people. Okay. But having denied the power thereof. Okay, well, that just means that they don't believe God's power can sanctify. They're willing to just be forgiven, like a lot of people out there. Okay. But they have a form of godliness. Okay. Even that blonde hair. From these also turn away. You are commanded to come out from among them. For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women laden with sins, led away by divers lusts, even while they go to church, right? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yep, they cannot receive the truth. They love apostate Christianity. Well, the lady was keeping us busy chatting. While we were distracted in conversation, she led us to a row of seats right in front of the stage. The lights dimmed, and my stomach retched. I looked at Rion, and I could not believe what was happening. We were sitting in an apostate church service. And Rion said, well, beware of the deception of those who appear to be of the light on the outside, represented by the blonde hair, but are in reality rebellious, represented by the short hair. The older blonde woman was telling us that her and her husband would only speak again in October of the next year, as they have so many pastors and they all take turns preaching. Well, this is where the mega churches are, folks. This is why they flock to them. It's easy on their flesh. They don't you know, demand the crucified life, so on and so forth. But this October, the whole month of October, according to John Ramirez, is a month of witchcraft in preparation of the Satanists for their celebration of Halloween and the Day of the Dead. So this is a dead church. They're powerless, as we just read, right? And Rion said, James 3:1 says, "Be not many of you teachers, my brethren, knowing that we shall receive heavier judgment or condemnation in some versions. I was now sweating. Rion stood up and led us out of the church in the opposite direction of the throng of people streaming in." Yep, that's where the multitudes are. That's what they like. They're not seeking truth or submission. Remember, Jesus was on the outside of the big church building. He was out there sitting on a rock teaching his disciples, right? "It was embarrassing, but we could not stay. We had to leave. But our children had gotten so comfortable in the short time that we were there that they ran away from us to play on the playgrounds." So the apostates try to entertain the spiritually immature, and spiritual grown-ups can lose their fruit being carnally entertained in this way. She said, "My son was only a toddler in the dream." Well, he's much older than that, but he had lost some maturity, right? "And he was wandering around crying and whining. Because of him being in an apostate church, he lost maturity." Okay. "It was so hard to watch Rion, too, as he had lost his authority over our children." Well, Rion said in 1 Timothy 3:2, "The bishop, therefore, must be without reproach." And in verse 4 it says, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in submission with all gravity." Amen. So, his house, as long as your children are in your house, they're under your authority. Notice that. Sometimes they go astray afterwards, but if you raise them up in the way they should go, when they're older, they won't depart from it. That's what the Bible says. Praise be to God. And if we don't do this, we are losing our submission to the Lord and causing our children to do the same, as we can see in the next scene. "I then stood in front of a mirror and took some scissors and cut my hair way shorter." In other words, these are all effects from going through this apostate church. "Cut my hair way shorter than what is generally comfortable or acceptable for me. Rion came in and helped me to cut it off." Yeah, you wanted to be like the rest of them, right? That's the problem. When you get in there, that influence of apostasy causes you to lose submission to the Lord. Cutting the hair, right? Symbolized here by cutting off hair, which is a sign of submission. "It was horrible as I blinked back tears. When we finally rallied our kids, we walked out of the front of the church." Rion said, "There's grace when we fail, but we must keep overcoming in our trials." Amen. We get back up and go some more, right? "And as we were leaving, we walked past many camper vans and trailers with people watching their own TV shows and drinking beer and wine and cooking on their barbecue grills. We were shocked. And I said to Rion, 'Why?' And he replied, 'The church has given them permission to be here just as they are.'" There's no sanctification. Of course, we don't try to clean the fish before we catch the fish. You have to make sure someone is a disciple so that they can go on to the deeper things, right? "I woke up and a feeling of remorse and sorrow washed over me. I cut my hair was all I could think about. I was remorseful because I know long, straight hair represents submission to our Lord. I received by faith at random Jeremiah 31 and 23. In context 18 to 25. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself, saying, Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a calf unaccustomed to the yoke, which that would be submission, right? Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. Yes, it's grace. For thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. Cry out to God to grant repentance unto you. It's grace, right? And after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a darling child? For as often as I speak against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my heart yearneth for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set thee up waymarks. Make thee guideposts. Set thy heart towards the highway, even the way by which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go hither and thither, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Yet again shall they use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of righteousness, O mountain of holiness. See, we have to head for holiness. Holiness and sanctification are the same word. Okay? And Judah and all the cities thereof shall dwell therein together, the husbandmen and they that go about with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and every sorrowful soul have I replenished. So I asked the Lord if this is a testing for those who are in the running to be in the bride, to be mindful of the distractions of religion, or Pharisaical spirits, I would say. I received John 6 and 6 by faith at random on the phrase, and this he said to prove him. Notice, quote, and this he said to prove him. Verse 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. So we're being proven, running the race, right? We're being proven. Okay, this is Tiana Fire on 1:14:23. She receives surrendering brings swift victory. Amen. Suddenly I felt the Lord's presence so strong in the spiritual realm. I then saw at that very moment that in an instant, God could remove all the filth in my flesh and soul 100%, quicker than I could think, and he could manifest his presence 100% in my body and soul. And I saw that it had already been done, and the manifestation could be done instantaneously. Well, let me say this. The manifestation is progressive, but it can be finished quickly. Okay. You have seen the progression, right? And but you don't know is that he can get you there quickly. Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, he will. And listen carefully to these verses. Psalm 81, 13 and 14. Oh, that my people would hearken unto me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Yeah, you know the adversaries, those demons that make war against you, and of course the people they inhabit making war against you, and so on and so forth. The haters of the Lord should submit themselves unto him, but their time should endure forever. So there's a great reward for those who learn submission. And she said, I know many other brethren pray for God to manifest himself in us fully. Amen. Ephesians 3 and 19 says, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. That's the word of the Lord. And, of course, some people say that's impossible. Well, that's impossible with men, and that's the only thing that they're dealing with, obviously, is men. But it's not, nothing's impossible with God, as the word clearly says. So we all want to be 100% dead to self, she says, and my soul desires it so much for all of us. We know that by faith it has already happened, and we will see it manifest in the physical realm. Amen. But in that moment when I saw he could do it all right then, my flesh got so terrified because it couldn't handle the presence of God that strong and that intense so quickly. Well, I desire it and I know it will happen, but there is so much that I still have to let go of that isn't Christ, that God hasn't even revealed to me yet. So many hidden things. But God will reveal those things in his perfect timing, and I desire to let go of everything that isn't holy. Amen. The complete removal of self in an instance would hurt because it is all I have ever known, and and his holiness replacing it would hurt if it happened without me being fully prepared. Amen. I agree. And that's why God says things like this. I felt that it had to be a gradual thing. I must let go of things bit by bit, and then the Lord can come and fill those spots until there is nothing left but Jesus. I must keep letting go of my own carnal thinking, reasoning, and understanding, and filling it with the Word and His Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this is why God told the Israelites that every place that they set their foot in the promised land, he would give it to them. In other words, it means being under their submission, right? Under them, under their authority. Because if he had wiped out their enemies all at once, the land would have been overrun with wild beasts. Yep, that's what the Lord said. So he ordained that they conquer it a little at a time. Yes. Deuteronomy 7 and 22 says, and the Lord thy God will cast out those nations before thee little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. But you can have been in this process for a while, and I want to tell you, God can finish it very quickly. So, I have felt and experienced what I would describe as my flesh surrendering bit by bit to the Spirit and the Word, but there are parts that still haven't surrendered completely, and if it happened instantaneously, my mind and soul couldn't handle it. She means the whole thing, instantaneously. Right? God's timing is perfect, and we need to be prepared every day for an increasing of him in each of us, in our soul and physical body. Yet, as the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day, right? You got to give up territory to get territory for the kingdom, which is sanctification. And when we surrender to his Spirit willingly and surrender our whole heart to him, it is so much easier for our body to submit. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 9 and 27 says, but I buffet my body. That means hit it many times, many blows. Right? I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself would be rejected. Okay, so she went on to say, yes, I want the complete manifestation and deliverance from all evil in my soul and body, but I realized that it is a progressive thing so that my physical body can handle it. God doesn't give us more than we can handle. God wants His Son to completely manifest in each of us. And I can see Jesus growing and increasing in the brethren more and more, and it is so beautiful to witness. And after experiencing this, I have felt so much closer to God that every day we are getting closer and closer to Him manifesting in us to the full. Every day, whether we see it or not, we are dying to self in some areas. And He is coming into us more and more than the previous day. Everything is His grace and can only be done by His grace. It is all because of Jesus. All glory and praise to our Father and the Lord Jesus forever and ever. And then she offers this prayer, Lord, let us all willingly surrender to Your Spirit in all areas of our existence. Allow us to love You more and to rest in You, accepting Your grace and allowing You to follow through us, to flow through us, excuse me. So, thank You, Lord, that Your grace is beyond anything we can comprehend. Thank You that we can do nothing without You, but we can do everything through You. And thank You that it is not us living, but Christ living in us. Thank You that we are dead to self and alive unto You, God, in Christ Jesus. Thank You that Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. And thank You, God, that it is all You for all eternity. And Samuel, her husband, prayed this, prayed about this, and he saw a young fruit tree, ambitious to bear hundreds of fruits, but not yet mature to do so. And as the branches grew, the buds formed all over and flowered. In time, the tree was able to bear the amount that it can handle. Yes, as the tree's limbs get stronger and stronger, it can bear more and more fruit, right? So there's a maturing there, right? And this is Marie Kelden's revelation on 1-6-23, the pearls of great price. In this dream, I was in Chicago. I was walking away from my old house on a sidewalk. Well, leaving the house of our mother church is a sign of growing in spiritual maturity. I met Thaddeus, which means God's gift, and Greg, which means watchful or vigilant, two people I went to school with. So God gives us helpers along the way, like the fruits of the Spirit and wisdom, and we must listen to them, right? Thaddeus was to my left and Greg was to my right. And as we were walking, I asked Thaddeus what happened to him because I saw that he had a cut on his finger. Thaddeus said that he had a paper cut. And I said to him, those are the worst. I think this is talking about that our gifts can suffer when we go contrary to the word which is written on paper. Those words on that paper will cut like a two-edged sword. So we were going across the street and there was a tan van waiting for us to cross so that it could turn right. A red truck was behind the van waiting also. And as we were crossing, I felt an evil spirit grab the back of my shirt to keep me from continuing to cross the street. Thaddeus and Greg continued walking across the street. So obviously we shouldn't get separated from our spiritual gifts by any demon that wants to hold us back, right? can be dangerous. As we see, the person in the tan van was getting impatient and turned and hit me with their car. So the demons will try to hold us back so that we fall under judgment, right? In the dream, I told the judge, I believe representing the father, and she does too, about the car that hit me. The license plate on the front of the van had 333 in it. Oh, well, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great things and difficult which thou knowest not. You must do that all the time. Pray without ceasing, calling upon the Lord to show you things, and especially those demons that want to hold you back, right, and let you get hit by the car. So this was on the front of the car, or before the van hits. So to stop this, we must seek the Lord for wisdom, right? Seek him now so you don't get hit by the van, right? The scene changed and I was in a car. I don't know if I was driving or not. I realized I had an old necklace and I heard a voice say, pearls. Well, I'll just say, before we get to it, if our treasures have become tarnished, and we must sanctify them with pure treasures from heaven. In other words, a revival, right? So, in the dream, I thought of the parable of the pearl of great price. While in the car, the Lord was supernaturally changing the radio stations to speak to me through the songs. And every time he would change the song, one of the old pearls from the necklace I wore would burst and break, and a new pearl would be in its place. Amen. And as we seek his wisdom, he will give us new beauty and values. Okay, new treasures, heavenly type treasures. I was so excited and asked the Lord to keep speaking to me through songs on the radio. Well, the Lord's words are melodious and pleasing words to our spirit man, because he gets to grow under those, right? Not that all music out there is good. She's not saying that at all. But there's some of it that edifies, especially when you can hear the words. And Matthew 13:45-46 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a merchant seeking goodly pearls. And having found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Amen. Well, all that he had. And bought it. So Debbie Finsky receives this prophetic word on 123:23, and we called it, Am I Your Everything? In our Monday night fellowship gathering, our praise and worship time was wonderful, she said. We sang several songs to Jesus. Our spirits were united as one in one accord, giving praise, honor, and glory to God, just as Michael had prayed earlier. And as we sang the Revelation song, I know we all could feel our praise and worship going up to the Lord from our hearts. It was high praise and high worship, and it seemed we were truly touching God's heart. Yet I felt something else, too, in my spirit from the Lord. In the midst of that high worship to Jesus, something else was on his heart. And I believe he's speaking here about most of the church who don't worship in spirit and in truth, right? I felt this from him the first time when we sang the words, You are my everything, and I will adore you. And I asked him, Jesus, what is on your heart? And he asked me, Am I your everything? I thought this question was only for me, But as he repeated that question two more times, and as we continued singing that song to him, I felt it rising up in me. And when he repeated it a third time, I knew it was for others in our midst besides me. Besides, I felt his words welling up in me. And I believe it's also for you, since we're sharing it with you. So, obviously, we're just a microcosm of the macrocosm, right? So, the larger UBM is out there and listening and growing with us. And here's the word. My people, am I your everything? You say that I am. I say to you, my people, check your hearts. Search your hearts. You must diligently examine your hearts. Look deep and see those things that fill you. And ask yourselves if I am your everything. I am looking at your hearts, and I see what is there. You must give those things over to me so that I will fill you. And I will truly be your everything, your only desire. There is much to give up. You can do this. For as you desire to do this, my people, I will help you. You will not be on your own. I will help you, my people. For I desire to be your everything, your all in all. And she said after that, Chuck prayed, mentioning specific areas the Lord would help us to let go of and give over to him, and that the Lord would strengthen us. Chuck thanked him for his great mercy towards us, asking him to continue extending his mercy to us. Others prayed also. As they were praying, I heard the Lord repeating to me, this is not just a tonight thing. So then the Lord had one more word to say. My people, this is not just a tonight thing. I am asking of you. This is an everyday thing you must do, always examining your hearts, for it is my desire to be completely and totally yours. Well, amen to that. Father, we so much want and desire you only to be the love of our hearts, and that we would run after you and not be distracted by this world and the things, especially at this time when we're about to see who you have chosen for your bride and your man-child. So at this time, Lord, we know that you can do a quick work, as we've just saw here. You can do a quick work of finishing us up. We just need to give it all to you. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would do and accept what we give to you. We know reconciliation has been made, which is an exchange, and that all of our sins were put upon the cross. And that's where we need to leave them. And our flesh on the altar, so to speak. And that's where we should leave it. And thank you, Father, that you will take this and make an exchange and give us your life, the life of Jesus Christ that you have given unto us. Thank you, Father, for making this exchange in our lives and doing a quick work in us. We ask you to put a desire in us to run after you at this time, because as we can see, we're running out of time to be in the bride, to be in the man-child, to be in whatever calling God has given to the brethren out there. We've all been raised up for different purposes and with different gifts, and we want to be useful to the Lord. It's sad that some people's fruit, because of listening to apostasy and hanging out around apostates and so on, has become immature. And so, Lord, we just ask you that your people would come out from among them and be separate, and don't touch the unclean thing, and that you might work in them this white wall of sanctification, separation of them from the worldly and from the enemies, And thank you so much for what you're doing, Lord. We put our trust in you. We believe you, and we praise you, and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, saints, God bless you.